Welcome to College Talk, and co-hosting with me right now is Jan Janaeus and Max Cohen. This is a breaking news episode, as this morning, Fulham sacked Slavica Jokanović and replaced him with Claudia Ranieri. We have a lot to talk about with this breaking news, and I want to say shocking news. I did not see this happening. Janis, I'm going to go to you first. Just give me your opening thoughts on the breaking news here.
Well, it is a bit of a shock. I mean, we were poor against Huddersfield, and we expected a reaction on Sunday. We did get it. He changed things around. Slava, I thought we played much better. And, you know, I've got a few friends who are Liverpool fans who thought that we were very good in the first half. We got jobbed, really, with the Mitro goal.
Yep.
And they march up the field. But there was reason for optimism. But obviously, the Khans felt that with the international break, that somebody was going to take the fall. And he's the first manager to go this year in the Premier League. I feel bad. I mean, whatever people say or think of our recent form, he took us back to the promised land. He
That's right.
That ridiculous run. Nobody's ever going to forget Wembley, and certainly least of all you. And I feel very mixed this morning, because I'm very sorry to see him go. I do like Claudio Ranieri, though. He's an excellent coach. It's just the manner that, it's always, you don't want anybody to lose a job, and it always comes as a shock when it's your own manager, especially after the year that we had last year.
Okay, excellent there, Janis. I have my own views that I'll share after I go to Max. Max, I'm the one I think that told you about this news. It came very early in the morning here. I was up, so I actually saw the news right away. What were your initial thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, I woke up 5:30 a.m. I don't know why. I just checked my phone, and I see that message from you, Russ, and I thought it was an April Fool's joke early, honestly. I'd never been so disappointed or so sad to be right. You know, I'd called for Slavica to be sacked after Huddersfield. You weren't in agreement. I think a lot of people also were not in agreement with me. And I also called for Ranieri to be brought in, and that was a shock at the time. And I honestly did not think those situations would ever come to reality, at least not in this way. I'm so torn, just like Giannis and you, Russ, because deep down in my heart, I know it's the right decision. I know that no manager can really recover from 6 straight losses, from such a historically bad start to a Premier League season. But at the same time, a lot of those factors are really out of Slavica's control. Many of them were his fault, but a lot of them were not his fault.
Right.
And, you know, as Giannis mentioned as well, we can't forget how directionless this club was in the winter of 2016 before Slavica came. We had that 2-month period without a manager when Stuart Gray was trying to right the sinking ship, and we had no idea where we were going. And he saved us from relegation to League One. Not only saved us, the very next season took us to the playoffs. The very next season picked us up from that playoff defeat to Reading and finally took us to the promised land. And for that, I don't think Fulham fans will ever forget Slavica Jokanović. But we have to separate his legacy from the reality of today. And that was sadly, he was not ready to be a Premier League manager.
Okay, very good. All right. I'm going to share my opening thoughts here. And as I've told a few people, I have some very strong opinions on this. And I really do. And let's just start off by saying I tweeted out that I would be not happy and I guess you could say upset if they did this. And so I am very upset that they moved away from Slavica Jokanović, who gave Fulham so much and I think deserved the opportunity in the Premier League more than the time that he was given to fix the problems. He was given a brand new team, and I think it's unfair what they're doing right now. Tremendously unfair. I understand it's a business, but given a brand new team, many of these players came on the last day of the window, guys. You know this. And to expect it to happen overnight, again, I think I didn't realize how difficult the challenge would be, and it has been challenging. But I could see a way through this, and I got a glimpse of it in the Liverpool match, so that's what makes this even more difficult. And I really could see Fulham eventually figuring it out under Jokanović in their first year and then pushing on from there. I think many of these players fit into Slavica's style. Maybe some didn't, and he was going to have to adjust to that. I think that's also part of the issue. But I'm a big fan of Slavica, so this is a very difficult day for me. I'm completely against this decision. I just am. I don't think you get rid of a manager that gave you so much and not give him enough time in the next step. And I don't think they gave him enough time. So I'm not going to change my mind on that. I'm very upset by this move. Nothing against Claudio Ranieri. I will also say this, that I think he's a fine manager and will probably do a very good job of Fulham Football Club. But I want to start just talking about Slavisa, and I'm against this move by Shai Khan, Tony Khan, Alistair McIntosh. They look at it as a business. I understand this, but I look at it as a fan, and I'm completely against the move, guys. So, Max, I'm going to go to you. I understand where you're coming from on this. Just give me your thoughts on, let's focus on Slavisa. And you talked about everything that he gave us. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think he was given enough time? I don't.
Yeah. I mean, Russ, this is the thing I'm going to bring up now is that he was given the opportunity numerous occasions to sign that contract over the summer, to commit his full-time future to Fulham and say, I'm in here for the long haul. And he didn't. He only has himself to blame. I'm sorry. We heard that the contract was on the table. He was reluctant to sign it. He didn't sign. And if he had signed that contract, I think we're talking about a very different story this morning. I think he's not sacked. The Collins recognize he's the man for the job. He's in this for the long term. And even if we do go down, he'll bring us back up. But he did not want to commit to that, Russ. And that's why I got punished. And also, I think I agree. The Liverpool performance showed an improvement. And honestly, I would have been inclined to let him stay on for longer. But the reality of the situation is you can't base a decision on promotion relegation off one performance, because we don't know if that would have translated to the Southampton match. I mean, we saw an almost very similar performance, not the same, but we saw an improvement against Manchester City away.
We did.
In the league, and then we saw a terrible performance in Huddersfield. What if the same thing happened at Southampton? At the end of the day, I don't think it would have happened, but the board, Cons, and the McIntosh, they couldn't take that risk, because if we'd lost against Southampton, I think we're in too deep. The international break is gone. If you're bringing a new manager then it's truly a matter of not having enough time to settle. And yeah, as I said, that was just too risky of a proposition for the Cons to live with.
Right, Max. But see, you brought up a good point. We all saw improvement against Manchester City. That was where it really began. I know it's the Carabao Cup, but I saw a way for Fulham to play against the bigger clubs. Manchester City now against Liverpool. You had that going on. I understand in between you have the Huddersfield Town match, but I think that he would have figured out that part of Fulham as well. I think the problem was he was trying to figure out how to play against the bigger teams in the league, and then the other teams where you need to get points off from play his style. And I think that maybe he went against that a little bit against Huddersfield Town, or maybe the players just didn't react to what he was telling them quickly enough, and they were dominated in that game. So I understand where you're going on that. But I could see a way out of this from Slavisa Jokanović.
But what about Max, the contract, Russ? What about the contract?
That, again, I don't have an answer for, because he, you know, again, there's been a lot of talk about this contract situation. And I'm one that believed that he should have signed a new deal by now. He didn't. I don't know exactly what went on there. So that's a little muddy, Max, because we don't know the details on what was going on with a potential contract. That's the only issue I have with that. I understand where you're going, because I was thinking, well, he needs to sign a new contract, but I don't know the details of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but at the end of the day, I love Slavisa. It's never going to change. But one thing we do know about Slavisa is that he's a very, very stubborn individual.
Yep.
In many ways, it's his way or the highway. And it's a real triumph. I don't even know how the Fulham management pulled us off, but they're giving him to stay after the Craig Klein fiasco, after the entire transfer fiasco, remember at a point in time when he's going to the press after every match and before every match and complaining publicly about the transfer policy. So this is a manager who really always thinks he's right. And I think that came back to bite him here. He didn't want to sign the contract. He wanted more assurances that he knew he wasn't going to get. And he didn't give himself the job security that he ended up needing.
Okay, very interesting. Giannis, over you. I want to get your thoughts on what Max just shared, because he was in the final year of his deal. I don't know the ins and outs of how this all was playing out, but I understand where Max is going on that, because Cons, as a business, have to consider their head coach is in the middle you know, again, middle of his last season. So do you think that's a factor in all this as well?
I'm not sure. I think Slavisha followed the same model as Roy Hodgson. If you remember when Roy Hodgson was here, he tended to go on rolling contracts year by year.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that is that, you know, it gives the manager also the option of if something does come that piques his interest, he can leave. But say, you know, it's only a rolling contract. It's not like it was a 3-4-5 year term. I don't think the contract would have played a role. I think that might have been a gentleman's agreement between the Khans and Slavisha. I think I understand what you're saying, Russ, about, you know, it's just in terms of the way, you know, the speed of the decision. I think at some point, and, you know, Slavisha seems like a pretty stand-up guy, but at some point, someone, will he say anything about the players that he inherited this year? Because we've argued on many a show that some of these players, some of these acquisitions have been questionable at best. And you know the old saying about you can't make a chicken salad out of chicken shit?
Right.
And so some of these players have not played very well, and they don't look very good either. And you imagine being a manager that had a team that did as incredibly as we did last year. And then your owners spend a lot of money on players you don't know anything about. And then they come in and you go, what the hell have you given me? And then all of a sudden now you ask to gel all these players into a lineup, into a system that you have, where you realize that the players that have been brought in the system just aren't good enough. And then all of a sudden, because we had injuries to start the season, don't get me wrong, but we were pretty tight defensively as a unit last year. I know it's the Premier League, but all of a sudden, you know, we were leaking like a sieve, and then we stopped scoring, then we stopped creating chances, and there's only so much you can do. And I think, you know, I saw signs on Sunday that we were beginning to turn the corner,
right?
But clearly, the owners thought differently and felt that they needed to bring in someone who is renowned for the defensive approach to keep things tight. And he always did that at the King Power. I mean, Ranieri's championship winning team, they were tremendously disciplined at the back, especially with the dropping of the midfield. Everybody had a role to play in their third. I'm going to call it, if you call it the four zones of the soccer field, I'd say, you know, zones one and two, everybody had a role to play. So I think they've gone with that, but I think the way it's been done has been unfair. And I think that Slava will live in folklore in this club, in terms of, even if he came back with Brentford or QPR, yep, he would get the most rousing reception, the sort of rousing reception that Roy Hodgson gets every time we play against him. You know, there's deep love for Roy Hodgson, and I think there'll be deep love for Slava, but it does put pressure on the ownership now.
It does.
This will not sit well with many, many fans, and it's not like Ranieri is not going to be given a lot of support. The fans will support him.
Sure.
They will warm to him very quickly. But there's still, you know, you feel like you've lost a friend. You lost a friend. Not like a Mark Hughes plasticky, I'm going to phony pleasantries in the media.
Lack of ambition.
You know, yes. Cheese grating on your kneecap and your groin a la Felix Magath. This is a guy that we could actually identify with, and I know that the fans, many fans, will be very sorry he's gone.
Yep, I'm there with you, Giannis. Listen, before we move on from Slavisha, I want to end by reading an excerpt from the post on Fulham Football Club about the announcement, and there are some quotes from Shai Khan, and I want to get both of your thoughts on, and then we'll switch gears and talk about Claudio Ranieri. But I want to end by sharing this with you, because I think it goes along with our conversation about Slavisha. Here are the quotes from Shai Khan. Quote, I wasn't anticipating having to make this announcement related to Slavisha, and wish the circumstances were such that I didn't have to. But our path this season has led me to make what I know is the correct decision at the right time for our players, the club, and our supporters. Slavisha will always have my appreciation and respect for everything he did to return Fulham to top flight football. I'm hoping everyone in the Fulham family shares my heartfelt sentiments for Slavisha and joins me in wishing him success and good fortune wherever his next stop may be. Khan said he and his son Tony Khan vice chairman and director of football operations at Fulham Football Club, considered and spoke with a number of potential candidates within the past week, with Ranieri becoming their mutual and obvious choice. Tony Khan and his staff will continue to oversee the first team player recruitment and contractual agreements, and he will work closely with Ranieri. All right, Giannis, back to you. What are your thoughts about this? Because I think we're now learning a little bit of the timetable here. They were talking to candidates within a week's time. So something was in the works in my mind. In my opinion, this was not just about the Liverpool match. I think they were planning this beforehand.
Yeah.
My opinion.
If we'd won at Anfield, I think he still would have been gone. Look, we all hope they've got this right. The good news, if there's any semblance of good news here, is when they made the decision. They've made the decision in, you know, the first week of a 2-week break. So
if they were going to do it, this is the time. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah, this is the time they're going to do it. I mean, is there ever any good time? No.
No.
His first game in charge will be against Southampton. That's obviously a massive game. Southampton are really struggling right now. How lovely would it be if we could knock off Southampton and ensure that Bellend Hughes gets his bottom booted out of the Marys? That'd be nice. But there is a little bit of a better taste in the mouth. The last time I felt like this, I'm going to be honest with you, the last time I felt like this was 35 years ago, and that was the firing of Malcolm McDonald back in the 80s, which for many of the older fans who listen to the show will remember very well what happened there. And Malcolm had a fantastic team in the second division. We got jobbed by Derby County, or cheated, whichever way you would think you put it. We had a super team, played some incredible footy, and I still see him very fondly. I mean, McDonald was a wonderful player, but a very good manager for us, and that was the way that was handled. Mind you, that was Ernie Clay, but it was pretty gruesome.
Right.
And there'll be fans that will look back to that and go, you know, that wasn't exactly kosher.
Okay.
But, so there'll be some pushback, but I think, you know, once the fans get to the cottage a week on Saturday and they'll cheer Ranieri. Ranieri is one of these people that's very, very difficult to dislike.
He's very likable, so he has that going.
Very likable.
No question about that.
And, you know, there was an absolute uproar when he was fired at Leicester.
Yep.
And
I agree with that there was an uproar, because I disagree with the sacking at Leicester City of Claudio Ranieri. So
it was terrible. I thought that was horrible. It was horrible. And it was uncalled for. Unfortunately, we live in an era where owners don't give a donkey's bollocks. I mean, you know, we talk about Mike Ashley, but if you've got money, you've got power.
Yep.
And power to pull plug whenever you want. And I'd have given him the Southampton game. Okay, it's only one game. And if we get a win and it looks like that shape that we showed against Liverpool is working, then you're showing faith. You're showing the faith that you showed him last year when he took us on that ridiculous run.
That's right.
And so it just goes to show that, unfortunately, in life, especially in this game, there's no bloody loyalty.
No.
And he's not going to be starving on the streets. He's going to get a job soon. But we're a homely club, and we're not a militant club. And, you know, we love our players, and on the whole, we love our managers. So a lot of us will be hurting today because of this. As pleased as we are that Ranieri is going to come in, we'll be hurting for Slav because of what he's done for this club.
Totally agree. And listen, we'll be talking about Claudio in just a second. And I'll share my thoughts on him because I think he's a quality manager. This, for me, has a lot more to do with Slavisa Jokanovic. And Max, I want to get your thoughts on the quotes that I shared from Shah Khan. And obviously, you can also comment on what Giannis just shared. But I want to also ask you this. This is my fear, my friend. And the parallels. Different time of the season, but in 2013, what happens? Fulham decide to sack Rene Meulensteen after playing Liverpool. Now they sack Slavisa Jokanovic after playing Liverpool. And again, My fear is be very careful what you wish for when you do this, because I did see improvement. So I want your thoughts on this angle of it, because it's the irony is unbelievable that it happens twice against Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I think what we have to look at, and I brought up the 2013-14 season as well last week, but that came after the draw away at Old Trafford, which was an unbelievable Super Bowl, as well as the 2-3 loss at home to Liverpool, which was a much better performance than I think what we did against Anfield, because we actually went up, we went in the lead twice in that match. So that's different. And also bringing in Magat is so much different than bringing in Claudio Ranieri. I mean, the two appointments can't even be described in the same breath.
Sure.
But also, let's just separate our emotional feelings on the Slavisa sacking and the Ranieri appointment, which is difficult to do because I think everyone loves Jokanović or what he's done. And think about the way it was announced, right? As soon as he was sacked, it wasn't even a sacking. It was an appointment and then a sacking, right?
Right.
So there's no waiting period. There's no period of instability when, you know, the gambling sites are saying, oh, who's going to come in? He's 5-1, he's 6-1. They brought in the man as soon as they sacked Slavisa. And there are two things to be asked about that, which is, well, it looks like they're interviewing people while Slavisa was still in the job.
That's right.
It's a little bit suspect. But also, I mean, it's very smart. You don't bring it, you don't fire someone until you have an exact replacement ready to go and set. And I think that's, in the end, good business. And it's a little harsh, it's a little cruel, but I think I'm very grateful that we have a ready-made replacement ready to go, and we take away that period of instability, which might have occurred had he been sacked earlier or had we not been looking for a replacement once Slavisa was still in the job.
Okay. It's a fair point, Max. And I understand what you're saying, that they actually did their due diligence to have someone ready, but it will always leave a bad taste in my mouth that this is just my opinion. I don't have any proof of this, that they were already looking for his replacement. If you look back at what I read, it says within a week. Well, that's if it's within a week, how many days is that? I just have this feeling that this was going on before the Liverpool match. I could be wrong. This is just my opinion. And, you know, again, I don't agree with this, and I'm not going to agree with this. No one's going to convince me otherwise. And when we get to the end, I'll share the poll, because the poll is actually very polarizing, because it's split. It's extremely split. I did two polls. I'll share them in a little bit. But let's move on. Let's talk about Claudio Ranieri, okay? I'm going to read another quote here. And this is, again, from Shad Khan. So this will give you an idea of why they did what they did. This is coming from the chairman of Fulham Football Club. Quote, making a change without having the right answer or succession plan was not an option. To having someone of Claudio's caliber ready to accept our challenge was comforting, but most of all, essential. Claudio is a risk-free and ready-made for the Premier League, and particularly so for what we need at the moment at Fulham. His recent body of work with Leicester City is literally legendary, and then you look at Claudio's experience with Chelsea and big clubs throughout Europe, and it's pretty evident we are welcoming an extraordinary football man to Fulham Football Club, unquote. And those are quotes from Shai Khan. So, Max, your thoughts on that, and then thoughts on Claudio Ranieri. Then I'll go to Giannis.
Yeah, I think Claudio Ranieri is the best appointment we could have made right now. And, you know, I called for him a number of weeks ago, and I still support that he is a very good candidate for the job, very good man for the job. He's taken over a similar situation wherein he's been on a team who's been struggling with relegation and brought their full potential out of them. And I don't think anyone can dispute that what he did with Leicester City in 2015-16 is perhaps the greatest managerial achievement of all time, considering we've seen how divided the Premier League is nowadays, right? And I think he will be the last person ever to break the hegemon of the top six. I mean, come on. Leicester City winning the Premier League, it's probably the greatest story in sports history, and we have the manager who pulled that off.
Okay.
He's known for bringing a lot of stability, which is something we sorely need. He's known for bringing defensive consistency, which is also something we need. And certainly at Leicester, he played a 4-4-2. I don't think we're going to see that at Fulham because we don't have the players to do that. But more likely, I think we're going to see a very consistent 4-2-3-1, which I'm hopeful will really suit the players we have. So he brings in defensive positiveness. He brings in vast Premier League experience, Premier League title-winning experience at that. And I think, as you guys mentioned earlier, he's a likable guy. He's not an Allardyce. He's not a party. He's not someone who's arrogant, is going to come in here and be brash. He's a very nice man. You know, we saw what he did for the city of Leicester, right? You know, buying them all those all the players' pizzas after victories, uniting the city, certainly after the tragic death of their chairman most recently.
Yep.
He's a class act, and I think we're very lucky to have him at Fulham.
Listen, very good points. He is a class act, and that's what Fulham are getting. So on that point, I understand where you're going. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this. I'm going to throw this to you because while this is going on, I'm thinking about his time at Leicester City and thinking about the system that he used. Like Max said, mostly at 4-4-2, I'm sure he will probably change that based on the type of players that we have. Here's my concern. How do these players fit in to Claudio Ranieri? And I'm looking right at Alexander Mitrovic. Does he fit for the way that Ranieri plays? I'm curious your thoughts on the hiring and also how the players fit with Claudio Ranieri.
I think Mitro actually will fit into a system. And he's, Ranieri has always been a big fan of having a target man up there. I think the real question mark will surround the work of the midfield and how that shape is going to look, because he's going to demand defensive excellence, and especially the movement off the ball when we lose possession. And every team he's been at, you look through his record. Let's not forget, we talk about Chelsea and Leicester, but this guy, was at Inter and Inter Milan and
Roma,
and Juventus, Atletico, Monaco. Brief spell at the Greek national team, didn't do so well. Fiorentina, Parma, Valencia. I mean, he's been at all top clubs. I think what he will need to do is just get them to ensure that really that everybody has a role and a responsibility in terms of what we do in terms of defensive shape. Because the big thing, I think, maybe from the calm perspective, is that defensively we've looked wreckish this year.
Right.
And Tim Ream made comments about players not caring. Now, is that because they tuned the coach out? Is there politics in the change rooms? What was going on that we perhaps don't know about? Ranieri will come in, he will walk in, and as soon as he walks into that change room, he will command immediate respect because he's a winner. And and that, to me, is massive, because everybody in that change room will know who he is. They will know his recent and long-term past, and they will listen. And one of the first things he will tell them, probably, is the table doesn't lie. We're bottom of the table. I'm not going to attack your previous coach, because for good reason, because coaches are a pretty tight fraternity. This is down on you as players. So we have to look to turn this around, and you will listen and you will learn, and we will do this right, and we will start the beginning, the renaissance with Southampton, who are equally struggling right now. They can't seem to be able to buy a goal, let alone a result. So he will command the respect, and if players do not put in a shift, he will sort it out accordingly. So players like Steven Sessegnon, as an example, is someone I can see very quickly getting into the lineup. He's going to want meat and potatoes players that will put the shift in, but he'll work with players that will take responsibility. So I think players like, believe it or not, Stefan Johansson might flourish under this, just because it'll give him more of a role to, in terms of, locking that midfield up. And Gisa has been very in and out. Terry, got dropped for Liverpool. But
let me ask you about him, Giannis, because I'm curious about him within the system of Ranieri, because he's been compared to Conte, who flourished under Ranieri.
Yes.
And so I'm curious, how do you see him working out under Ranieri?
I think it can work. I think the problem that Anguissa has is he's not very quick. This is an unforgiving division in terms of speed. And if you looked at where we've really struggled, I mean, we've made some bonehead errors, and in terms of decision making, it's been questionable at best. But where I think we've really got clobbered is speed. And let's take, for example, that goal on Sunday. You know, is it a goal for Mitro? I think it is. But then we've switched off.
Yep.
We switched off and, you know, you play the whistle. We switched off. And in a matter of 10 seconds, they've gone up the other end and they've scored. And it's that attention to detail. It's that thinking about the game. I often say to players, you can even have players playing at the highest standard of the game that are very, very good players. But do they understand the game? And when you look at a Man City, their players, to a T, understand the game. They know right. where they need to be. They know where they need to move. And they just instinctively read situations brilliantly and very, very quickly. The game against United on Sunday really, in my view, was men against boys. City's one of the best teams I've seen in a long, long time. They're a fabulous team. And I think with Ranieri, he's going to have to, he's a good teacher of the game, and he's going to explain them. You know, well, in certain situations, part of your development, especially young players, is to understand what is happening. Don't just play it, understand it. So I think that'll be a good message and a refreshing message. And these players will want to prove their new manager right. And there'll be an element of guilt as well, Russ, Max. A number of them will be upset because they'll feel responsibility for Slava's demise. And they'll want to prove a point. And they should do. They should look in the mirror. Because, unfortunately, it's the players that let Slava down.
Absolutely. So you think that players, you just mentioned Anguissa, I mentioned Sarri, you think they could fit into how Ranieri wants to play?
Yeah, I do, because I think because that's how much I rate him as a coach. But okay. If they don't put the work in, he'll lose his arse out.
He'll put up with it.
He'll lose their arse out. He'll get rid of them.
Okay. Very good. All right, guys, I'm going to share a couple polls with you because I find them revealing what the Fulham supporters feel about what happened today. And I'll share both results. Here's the results on the Cottage Talk Facebook page that I did earlier. I have 428 votes, so there's a good amount of votes here. And the poll was, are you happy with the decision to sack Savica Jokanović and replace him with Claudio Ranieri? Yes was at 54%. No was at 46%. So there's a little bit of separation, but it's still pretty split there, guys. And on Twitter, I did another poll. There are more votes. There are 727 votes. And it's 51% to 49% yes. And no was at 49%. So, again, it's fairly close. The Twitter poll is really split. The one on Facebook, there's a little bit of separation.
It's like Brexit, Russ. Slabs it.
Well, what do you think about that, Max? That just shows that this is really a difficult situation for the Fulham supporters because they are completely split on this. Well, I shouldn't say completely, but in one poll, it's 51-49%. The other ones, like I said, there's a little bit more of a separation, but it's pretty split.
It's tight, and I think, it shows how, you know, the Fulham community rarely agrees on anything, but because it's such a contentious decision.
Yeah. But
regardless of whether you agree or disagree, I almost think that's past the point. The decision's been made, right?
Yep.
Now what we have to do, right? Now what we have to do is get behind Ranieri and get behind Fulham. Because at the end of the day, it's not Slavica Jokanović Football Club. It's not Claudio Ranieri Football Club. It's Fulham Football Club. And no matter who's in charge, we have to trust they'll do the best they can to, at this point, keep us in the Premier League. Because that is the only metric that matters on that. So I think, you know, it's clear people are divided. Yep. There are a lot of people want Slavica. Also, equally, if not more people, wanted him gone. The two sides, however, have to reconcile, realize the new reality, right? Like Brexit, if you will.
Right.
Do we need a second referendum? Do we need Slavica back? If Ranieri fails, I don't know, maybe. Who knows? We still have his number, right? But I think
he'll be gone by then, my friend. He'll be somewhere else.
Actually, just to address that quickly, I don't think he will. I think a lot of people said, oh, he won't be out of a job soon. I don't – maybe in the championship. I don't see any Premier League team hiring him. But maybe a championship team will.
Maybe in Spain.
Maybe in Spain. Interesting, yeah. But, I think at the end of the day, people disagree. That's totally fair.
Yep.
But, you know, in the Southampton match, get behind the lads, get behind Ranieri, and hope we get the 3 points.
See, I totally agree with that part of it. And That's very good by you to bring that up. We have to get behind the team, and I'm going to get behind the team, but that doesn't change how I feel about this decision. Giannis, your thoughts on this, on these polls, and how the Fulham supporters are generally pretty split on this.
Yeah, but the polls are polarizing, no pun intended. And it is down the middle, because I think there's, and even the ones that voted to dispense with Slava, I'm sure have mixed emotions. And it's funny because, if you look back, even the Mühlenstein firing was a little questionable.
Yeah.
The question there was, was he released? I mean, luckily we released Felix before he'd consumed and rubbed the world's supply of cheese on people's legs. I think there's going to be, for a lot of Fulham fans, there's going to be a period of grief.
Yep.
And then a little bit of mourning, because we're all going to be sorry and I miss him. But we've got a big game 10 days ahead with a manager who's, I know that the fans are going to like. And and now we really need to look at the players. Two things. I think we've got to look at the players, and at some point we'll be casting our aspersions on the ownership. Because,
totally agree.
Yeah, at
totally
some point.
Agree. Giannis, I'm glad that you brought that up, because they're part of this pie, my friend. They are a piece of the pie.
Yes, they are.
That they brought in.
Yes. You can't, as I said, I wouldn't want to ever put any of these players in the same world-class Pelé category as Mark Fotheringham, because, he was beyond horrendous. But at the same time, some of these players, there've been some question marks, and we've obviously had injuries.
Yep.
But I will say this, though. I wasn't pleased with Tim Ream's comments in the media, because I'm not a fan of airing the dirty laundry.
Neither am I.
What he's saying is, oi, players, pull your finger out. If you don't care, get the hell out of here.
Totally.
And Ranieri won't put up with any nonsense. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
He will trust the players to a point, and if it looks like they're not putting the work in or playing to his system, then he will dispense with them accordingly. So I'm expecting us to come out firing on all cylinders against Southampton, and I'm expecting a good performance there. And as I said, the irony of the script that might be written is just brilliant, because you're going to have a fantastic atmosphere. We're going to have everybody's tragic hero, Mark Hughes, coming back. He's the man of ambition.
Yep.
He's a game away from being fired.
He is. He absolutely is.
And it would give me great pleasure. I'm not taking anything away from what he did in this club. He did do a good job, but in terms of the aftermath, and if we were to end his tenure at Southampton Football Club. It's going to be an exciting game, and I'm looking forward to it. I suppose we're all going to be excited to see who's going to be in that starting 11.
Yep.
For all these players now, they're on trial again.
Okay, excellent. All right, final topic. I know I said we're going to be ending. Just real quick, to both of you. First, to you, Giannis. Where does Slavisa Jokanović rank in full managers?
The earliest I can remember is really, with any fond memories, is Alex Stock. So in terms of the managers, all-time managers, if I would say number two or three, possibly two or three. I think Alex Stock took us to the FA Cup final. Roy Hodgson took us to Europa League final. I mean, that's a run we can, and he saved us from, relegation. Jean Tigana has to be obviously up there with, the greatest team that's ever played in the Championship. Malcolm McDonald was just, if you lived through that time, it was so much fun to watch that team play. They were just so much fun to watch. But Slavisa went on such a special run and he took over such a mess. But he has to be in the top three in my lifetime.
Okay.
Because he galvanized the squad and he created a squad that was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
But every, unless you're Sir Alex or, yeah, and even I was to say Wenger, but even for Wenger it ended. Unless you're Sir Alex, you're hired to be fired.
Right.
But he will live on because of the incredible job that he did here. So for me, he'll be top three in my lifetime.
Okay, excellent. Max, I know that you're much younger, so you can't really go that far into the history like Giannis can, but in just your history, where does Slavisa rank?
Yeah, I think I'll also put him top three. I think Hodgson, number one. And you'll put, obviously, Felix Magath, number two. No, just kidding. And Tagana, number two. And then, yeah, and then it has to be Kanovic, just because of not only what he did bring us up, but what he did saving us. The duality, something that, you know, I can almost compare to Claudio Ranieri in a way.
Yeah.
And how he dealt with a team that was very, would just survive relegation the previous year and brought them to their fullest potential. And just bringing that from Slavisa to Ranieri, just to conclude, that's why I'm so optimistic about Ranieri. He won the league, right, with a back four of Wes Morgan, Robert Hute, Danny Simpson, Christian Fuchs, right? Won the Premier League with a back four of that. This is a manager, if anything, can get the absolute best out of average players. And right now, we have mediocre players.
Yep.
I can expect Ranieri to really get the best out of them, and that's why I'm optimistic.
Okay, excellent. I keep saying final question, but that reminded me of a topic that a friend of mine wanted me to bring up. I'm going to ask you both real quick this topic. Giannis, to you first. Do you find it interesting? Do you read anything into the fact that Claudio Ranieri is listed as manager and Slavisa Jokanović was head coach?
No, I think it's just etymology. I mean, I think that, I mean, the head coach thing, mantra is really our North American thing, right, Russ? I mean, here they don't.
Yep.
Yeah, and whereas in Europe it's, you know, the gaffer, the manager, whatever. No, unless of course he's going to give him more power. Like, for example, you know, stick Alistair McIntosh in the River Thames with a pair of cement boots. I'm not sure. I mean, we're not sure what the contract's going to look like,
right?
In terms of how much power he's got. I mean, he might come and say, "Now look, I know you're spending the money, but I want to have a say about the players we pick."
Well, that's why I'm bringing that up. Does this?
Yeah, and I think that's only fair. I mean, you don't. To be fair to Slava, you know, I mean, a guy walks in. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm Mangisa. How much you spent? The club spent $7 billion on me. Oh. Well, you can't walk a straight line. Oh, well, I must be worth that money. You know, I mean, and every coach has the different flavors.
Yep.
But we don't have to be Mourinho to figure out that a few of these players are just, no, it's not work. It's just, you can see they're out of their depth in a totally and utterly unforgiving division, which I have to tell you, since we got relegated in 14, the chasm has got so much bigger.
Oh, I know.
I mean, we laughed at players like, you know, Hugo Rodriguez and Corley Woodrow, you know, and Chris David and players like that were playing for us back in 14. But right now, this division is, I mean, the top teams are so much better.
Yeah.
So much better than us. I mean, it's so much better than the second half of the table. It's scary. Yeah.
It is.
You know, that's why I think it might be a relief, this notion, this rumor that the top five might break away and do a European League, because, thank God, you know, you've got to make it competitive. Look what's happened in Scotland for many years, Russ.
I know.
You've got two clubs have won the Premier League in Scotland since 1987. And the only other one to win it was in 87. And ironically, it was 86, the manager was a certain Sir Alex Ferguson.
For that's right. That's a good point.
So, we shall see. Let's see what happens. There's going to be lots of pictures and photo ops and, you know, press conference. Let's see what he's got to say. And, but I'm excited. I just, you know, there's a bit of grief and mourning going on here, in terms of, Slava leaving the club.
Okay. Very good. Quickly to you, Max, what are your thoughts about Ranieri being named as manager and not head coach?
The only reason I'm not getting excited about that is just because club made it very clear in the announcement that Tony Khan will still oversee transfers and signings and contract extensions. So it still looks like he will be, in essence, a head coach in terms of his roles, but they'll just be calling him a manager, maybe because that just makes him feel better. Who knows?
Okay. Very interesting. Good stuff, guys. Listen, on short notice, thank both of you for doing this with me. We will do a post-match show at some point of the Liverpool match. We've actually just had a few scheduling issues. We will be figuring that one out, but this obviously takes precedent. This is big news, and I want to thank both my co-hosts, Max Cohen and Yana Shaneas, for doing this with me, and I appreciate you very much doing the show, but we do have to wrap it up. For Max Cohen and Yana Shaneas, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.